All right, this morning, take your Bible to Mark chapter 9. Now, this message, it's been on my heart for about a month now. I don't know why. Actually, it's been on my heart a little longer than that. I do not know why. It's one of those times I have a message. I know what the points are. I know what's in this passage. But I don't know that we're actively working or dealing with a situation like this. But I do know this about the Lord. When He puts a message on your heart, God knows what we're going to need. God also knows what each and every one of you maybe might be dealing with on a personal level in a personal life that maybe you've not shared with me, and I don't know anything about it. All I have to go on is the Holy Spirit of God will not leave me alone on this passage of Scripture, meaning that I must preach it. Mark chapter 9, it's an interesting passage of Scripture. And let me try to put us a little bit in context. Christ is coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And one of the things that you need to take note of, and the next time you read your New Testament and you read through the Bible, note that the devil always shows up after God either does something miraculous, or God does something good, or God begins to work there in this ministry, you'll find that the devil will show up. And the Lord will end up having to cast the devil out of somebody, or He'll have to deal with a devil in some way. And one of the things that I do know today to be of a truth is there seemed to be a lot of demon possession in Christ's day, and there is more today than there was in the Lord's day. The Bible said as we get closer to the coming of Christ that these things would increase. Now, what I do also believe is that the devils have gotten better at hiding, and they've become passive. And the thing that we see most often is a passive aggressive type of evil spirits. Now, this is not going to be a big message on evil spirits, but I do have a couple illustrations on true life stories that I have experienced firsthand. I've seen, so I will be giving you a firsthand account and having seen it go down in person. I will do my best. I have dealt with this issue years gone by in this church. I will do my best not to tell those stories. I will be telling, like I told y'all, this is not my first rodeo. I've been around this for quite a while, and I was going through my memory bank. Boy, I have a lot of all of these stories, and maybe someday I'll share them. And sometimes I weave them into the message because a firsthand account or a firsthand illustration, it's worth its weight in gold. Now, Christ is coming off the mount. If you come down to verse 14, Peter, James, and John were up on that Mount of Transfiguration with Him. They seen and heard God speak out of the cloud. They seen Christ transfigured, is what I meant by that. They didn't see God, but they heard God speak out of that cloud. And that is another interesting study, to study that holy cloud as it shows up through the Word of God. But verse 14, and when He came to His disciples, that means He's come down from the mount, He saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them, and straightway all the people, when they beheld Him, were greatly amazed, and running to Him, saluted Him. And He asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth, and with his teeth, and pineth away. I want to talk about that word, pineth away. And he says, and spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit, that's that evil spirit that was in him, he tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming, throwing a little temper tantrum. Oh, I added that part, sorry. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him up by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we come, we thank you now. And Lord, help us today as we preach. And Lord, I don't know how you're going to use the message. I know that you are. And Lord, I'm going to deliver it the way you've given it to me. I ask for the Holy Spirit to help me. Let the Holy Spirit have liberty in here this morning. If there be some that need help, if there are going to be some that are going to need this kind of help in the future, help them to be able to take note today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'd like to speak to you for a little while on help. My child's a lunatic. It's the lunatic child is what we're dealing with here. And I first want to get in by way of introduction. I want to clear up what I'm not talking about. And I kind of shared a little bit of this in the Sunday school class. I kind of got into it. But I want to be real clear about what I'm not talking about and what not is going on here. In this passage, I'm not talking about you as a parent who has neglected to properly train your child. That's not what we're dealing with here in this passage of Scripture. And if it's one thing I've dealt with quite a bit, is parents or children today that have not been properly trained by their parents. The Bible says this. He says this in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we're not dealing with a little spoiled, rotten brat. We've got a real problem that we're dealing with him. There was something that was going on at a different level, a higher level. It was not spoiled rottenness. Now, most of the problems that I see going on and that you have seen going on, I've seen a child, and I've told this, but I'm going to tell it again. Last Christmas, I seen a mother and a little child. He was about four, and he wanted to go into the toy store there in the mall, and she said no. It was a store. It had toys and stuff in it. Might have been a video store, and she said no. And he immediately started kicking and screaming and spitting, I mean in public. And she was pushing a baby stroller. She had a littler baby in the stroller, and he was there, and he just started kicking and wailing on her. And I said, you know, I almost said something. I generally try not to say anything. But I thought to myself, she is allowing this little boy child to kick and assault her and to spit on her. And when he gets about 20, he's going to do that to a girlfriend or a wife. And he's going to have been taught how to have done that and got away with it by his own mama. She was raising the next wife abuser. And I think we've raised a generation because we won't tell our kids no. We won't help train them. We won't train them up in the way they should go. And we have monsters today running around. Now, my father, my old pappy, said this. He says, one of the reasons that you discipline a child is a child is hanging in the balance. They've not lived enough life. They've not had enough life experiences to learn how to control that emotion. And he says, the devil's always around looking for an opportunity to devour somebody, and you do not want a devil in and out of your child. And so your job as a parent is to begin to properly discipline that child to help it control its emotions, because the devil loves fooling with people's emotions. Now, I'm not talking about that here, but I do want to break down this word train. He says, train up a child in the way that he should go. That word train, if you was to look its definition up, there are going to be three words that show up. And one of those three words is to educate, to discipline, and to initiate. And so part of training up a child, I've heard this out of people. They'll say, well, especially when the child leaves home, gets about 17, 18, and they really start going astray. And I hear this a lot. Well, I raised them in church. Let me tell you something. If your ideal of raising a child of church would be like me telling you my blue GMC truck is garage kept, you got another thing coming. Just because you own a garage or at one time was in somebody's driveway that had a garage, that does not mean your vehicle is garage kept. And a lot of people, they'll never bring their children to church. They'll never darken a church door or only come once or twice a month and then want to say that they raised their children in church, though you did not. And that's not the definition of raising in church. And so then they want to blame church or they want to blame a Christian school. And let me tell you something, the three were meant to go together. The home should be on the same page with the church and the church should be on the same page with their Christian school or school. And those three, they're like three strands of rope. They go together. Most people, because I'm going to get to this word initiate, they never want to initiate anything in their home. They rely on the school system or they rely on a church to do it all for them. And then they can't figure out why their kids are spoiled rotten brats. So I'm not talking about that this morning. But this word educate, if you're to train your child properly, you're going to have to educate them. That means to prepare the child for a life and how to make a living. I'm not talking about just making sure they go to school through grades of kindergarten through 12th grade. You're going to have to teach them how to fry an egg. You're going to have to teach them how to boil some rice. You're going to have to teach them how to do laundry. You're going to have to teach them how to clean a house or clean their room and then begin to educate them on that. I've dealt with more people that were now adults trying to live an adult life that were never prepared for life by their parents. They don't know how to cook. They don't know how to clean. They know nothing about a grocery list. They don't know nothing about a budget and they can't figure it out. And then when someone tries to teach them, they get all offensive because their parent did not properly educate them or to prepare them for life, prepare them to leave. Your child is eventually going to leave home. I mean, that's the natural order of things. I know we don't want them to. I know we want them to be little kids. I often think of my two children who are now adults and married as little kids, but they're not. They're adults. But then we deal with this word discipline. That's how to teach the child how to properly use the education that you're educating them with. That's how to teach them how to control the emotions and how to control those emotional impulses. After all, you got to teach that child how not to act on that anger because you'll get into a road rage incident someday. And if you've never taught that child how not to act on an anger, you got a killer on your hands. You know, I've dealt with this, and some people say, well, I don't even remember. I totally blacked out, or everything went red, and when I was done, the damage had been done. Let me tell you something. You're playing with demon possession, if that's what's going on. Something else was going on there, and you got to get a handle on it. And if you're lost, you're not going to get a handle on it. A lot of these cases, people are treating with drugs. But a good dose of the Lord Jesus Christ in it will begin to help you. I didn't say you shouldn't get angry at certain things. God says, be angry and sin not. When you get angry, it is there to motivate you to action. You ever get angry because your house was messy? You're like, oh, I got to get on this. Yeah, that anger's a good thing to get up there, get off your butt, and clean your house. Not to go and hurt somebody. It was to motivate you to action. But then we deal with this word where most people will fall short, and that's called to initiate. Honey, would you like to go to church today? No. 5-year-old wants to play video games and eat candy all day. Of course. That child has not lived enough life to know or what's not. Even your laws of the land says they cannot make their own decisions until they're 18. I mean, this lost world has that much sense. But we ask our little kitty, would you let go? They don't want to go to church today. Let me ask you a question. When they don't want to go to school, are you going to let them stay home? Or are you going to get them up and send them off to school, you hypocrite? You see, that's called initiation. And you're going to have to initiate that action. No, that's what we do around here. You're going to have to initiate the action that they might not want to go through education. But you're going to have to initiate that. They don't know. Sometimes, and I was on this with the Sunday school class, you need to know who their friends are. And you need to initiate that. If you don't like them, they're getting a bad vibe off of them. They need to take that cue. Now, I'm dealing with children. I'm dealing with people that are 18 years and younger. And I believe this boy here might have been, I know he still lived at home. And so he was not out on his own. We're not dealing with the maniac of Gadara. He was an adult. But I do know he was older than a child, which would have been 5 years old or younger. But I want to make sure that you understand this. I'm not talking about this. If you have not educated your child, you've not disciplined them. Martial arts called a discipline, correct? Has nothing to do with beating and abusing anybody. But the education part of martial arts is to educate them into the science and science behind how to strike, how to block. And then the discipline is to teach them how to put that education into practice. And then as a teacher, you would initiate that training and systemize it so that they learn the basic principles that are most important first, like as in stance, balance, yielding, atime, and gakun, elegance. Atime is strike. So if you've not done that with your child, if you've not properly educated them, and you've not disciplined them, taught them a way, and then you've never initiated, this is probably not for you. You've got another issue on your hand. Jesus can help. And you can get help today, but we're going to see, and I think the first point in this message is going to help a lot of us. And whatever we're dealing with, you might be dealing with a lunatic child. Let me put it to you like this. It's the parents that need to initiate the proper feeding schedule for a child. Now, somewhere somebody went astray with me. But a baby doesn't know. Some babies you'll find don't want to eat every 2 hours, but they need to, a newborn. Some babies don't like their pamper changed, but it needs to be. And you as the parent got to initiate that. You don't ask the baby that can't talk to you and reason on an adult level, would you like your pamper changed? Had one of those incidents the other day. And she thought it was funny when it happened. I think they wait to do it on me. And then didn't want to be changed. I won't name any names. That is ironic. I was working on this message. But we got her taken care of. Let me give you this. It's a nugget. We would have less lunatic children if we had less lunatic parents. Let me put this in another way. We'd have less prodigal children if we had less prodigal parents. There is a principle in the Word of God. Everything reproduces after its kind. I've seen it once. I've seen it 20, 30 times. A parent, rebellious, not going to do what God wants them to do, not going to live life right. They have a couple of children, and then they can't figure out once those kids get about 13, 14 years old, why are they lunatic? Why are they dysfunctional? That's because the parent's dysfunctional. I can't even begin to help you with your child if you won't admit you need some help yourself. So the first point that I want to draw your attention to this morning with this father who is very, very concerned about his son is don't deny the problem. Don't deny the problem. This father, if you noticed, he said, my son, he has a dumb spirit. Now, what did he say? Well, Matthew puts it like this. This father come to the Lord and says, my son is a lunatic. Now, let me help you why the Bible used that word lunatic. Luna has to do with the moon phases. A whole generation now that goes bonkers every full moon. You want to know what that is? That's lunatic. This boy was not in full-on possession. When you're actually dealing with a person who is full-on demon-possessed, that devil, that it does not come and go. This child, this devil that was in this child who was lunatic, said that it was coming on him in the full moon phase. Every month, he went through a week or a two-week period where he says he become lunatic. Now, there's something else I need you to draw your attention to. This child was trying to commit suicide. Always take suicide very serious. It's not a joking matter. Lots of parents are in denial of problems. I will tell you a story that just popped into my mind. I told you I have a lot of them. Jen and I were teaching junior church. It's been back a few years now. And I noticed one of the children in there begin to go goth. They had never been goth before. They begin to go goth. And you know, we as parents are like, oh yeah, she's so cute. It's just a thing. It's a passing thing. No, when you have a child who has a track record of being good, getting good grades, everything's going right, and all of a sudden they wake up one day and they're goth. There's something happening. And I begin to work with that child. They're just in the classroom with everybody else. Immediately it come up because I noticed one day she had been cutting herself, marking herself. And I knew there was an issue. And I asked her about it. And she says, yeah. Her father was going through some serious illness. And she said, I'm contemplating suicide. So I immediately took it to the pastor. I took it to the parents, and I told them, you have a problem on your hands that needs to be dealt with. She needs some help. And they dismissed it. They said, nah, she's okay. No, you don't understand. You don't know what you're dealing with. I'm telling you, she was having a problem. Guess what? We got the word. Now, she went on. She got her driver's license. She's dead now. She committed suicide while she was driving, run into a bridge abutment. And what the investigation sees, for all practical purposes, it was dry road, everything was going on. She wasn't texting and driving. She committed suicide. The parents and the grandparents were in denial of the problem. That thing was coming and going. Most parents live in denial. He says here that his son pineth. That word pineth means it's depression. Are you dealing with some serious depression? Now, I know a little bit about depression. Now, not all depression is demonic, but I will tell you this from the Word of God. You won't get this from your psych. If you're dealing with suicide and suicidal thoughts, you're dealing with devils always, every time, straight up. Not in you. If you're saved, they're not in you, but they're oppressing you. And devils can't oppress a human being. They can oppress a saved person. They can put so much pressure on you. Anybody ever had so much pressure on you? You're just like, I'm pressed out of measure. I need relief. And I think fix it. I'm telling you, that is called pining away. And it's a serious deal. That's what was going on with this boy. He said anytime he got around some fire, he threw himself in. Every time he got around a body of water, you couldn't trust him around it. If it was in the full moon, he'd throw himself in, try to drown himself. This father was not denying this problem. Now, I've seen this type of behavior in my life. Now, I'm going to give you a few stories. I was 16. At the time, I wasn't pastoring, but my father was. And I happened to be there when I was told this story from the Father. This father began to tell me and my father, he told my father, and I was there. Father wanted me to be there. And he said he had a normal boy who was involved in sports and had a great life. And he got 12 years old. And he was coming home from school one day, and him and his mother were inside the house, but they knew he was coming because he come home the same time every day. And all of a sudden, they heard him scream. And he began to scream that something was getting him. They come rushing out of the house. He was foaming and gnashing there on the sidewalk. He hadn't even walked into the yard yet. And they got him held down and they got him calmed down. He was still coherent enough to talk. And they asked him what had happened. They first thought that maybe he had took some drugs or something. And he was a good boy. He's like, no, I did not take no drugs. There was something in the bush. They had a rose bush in their house there on the yard. And he says, it was in there and it came out and it got me. And those were the last intelligent words that boy ever spoke. Now, I knew this boy because he come to church there, but now he was about 18 or 19. Now, at the time that this was being told to me, I didn't realize this, what was going on. Now, I do now, having studied this passage of Scripture, about every month that boy would come unglued and try to kill his mother. There had been more than one time he had chased her through the house and got her down into the floor and put his hands around her neck and would have choked her out had the father not been there, come in from the garage and got him off. But there's one thing I do remember. They were in denial of this problem. I remember watching that boy when he just got a bad vibe off him. He would sit there in church with a lifeless expression on his face. And he just kind of go back and forth. Now, I'm talking about a person, a child that was totally normal until that one day something jumped out of him, out of a bush. That's what they told me. And he was never the same. And the Lord asked this father, when did this come on him? He says, when he was a child. This, I'm going to tell you another story. Now, I have the names in this note, but I'm not going to tell the names. A boy, father, our family went over to these people's house. And I knew they had a troubled kid. I would have been 12. I'd have been 12, he'd have been 8. And they begin to describe, you ever want some interesting stories? Just talk to PKs, preacher's kids. I've heard some weird stories. Parents talking to my father and mother, and I was just PK kids, you hear it. And their child said, we don't know what's wrong with our boy. We think this is just a passing a phase in his life. He says, when he gets into trouble, we send him to his room. And now all of a sudden he's adopted. I can tell I'm preaching on devils. I can tell that. A lot of distraction. Notice that? And I'm not saying kids aren't mean. I'm saying when you begin, and let me tell you this too. Last night I come down here to pray about this message. You will not believe this. About 10 crows jumped up on the roof and started hopping up on this roof. In 9 years, I've never heard that. Now I know crows like this place. You say, what is it? Well, the Bible says that certain birds are demonic, and crows is one of those birds. Now, this boy, he would go to his room and he would defecate all over his bed, smear it all into the bed, jump up on his dresser drawers and jump and slide off into that. Folks, I'm telling you, you think your kid's got problems. I'm telling you, we're talking about lunatics. We're talking about something's wrong. That kid that day, and I remember this like it was yesterday, I was sitting in the living room, and there was a hallway, and he's come running back and forth through the hallway. He grabbed his father's .380 off the dresser, and as he come through, he pointed it right at me and was trying to pull the trigger. It was single action, and yes, it was loaded. And his father seen it and jumped up and chased him down. He started screaming and jumped. Needless to say, that was the last time we all went over there. There was an issue. But the parents said, oh, you know, that's just him. I got another one. I remember this, and I'm going to hurry. This boy would have been about 16, 17. This was the song leader's son from years ago in Mount Hope Baptist Church. And every time he'd get out of church, he'd take off into a screaming fit. And this Sunday morning was a winter Sunday morning. I had come out, and he jumped up. I've never seen anybody do stuff like this. He jumped up on the cars, and we had a parking issue in our church, and so the cars were lined up. He jumped up. He just come out of the church doors. He screamed like crazy, ripped his coat off. He come running out, and he jumped. It wasn't hard. He jumped up on that first car and started running on the tops of cars going down to the parking lot. He run down, jumped onto the next group, and come running down. Well, one of those cars he had jumped on was our car. And I said, hey, don't jump on our car. I shouldn't have said nothing. He come running at me, gurgling some type of animal sounds. Knocked me down, roughed me up, and took off running into the woods. To my knowledge, that dude never got straightened out. You say, what is that? Oh, I think those were instances of children that were lunatic. Now, I won't tell you about the cases I've dealt with here, because it's a little closer to home. Some of y'all know, one of them's in prison right now. I warned those parents before all that went down, he needs some help. I've had him in the office. He was demon possessed. But the parents were in denial. I don't know what kind of problem you're dealing with. I don't know why God's got me on this. But let me tell you something. When it comes to a child that's having problems like that, do not be in denial. This father was not in denial. Number two, seek help. Seek some help. This father sought help. He sought help's problems. As I'm looking at this, the roof leaked a little bit. I don't know why we didn't really get that much rain. But that ain't going to go away. I tried. I already tried that experience. We let it drip a little bit because it wasn't leaking so bad. And I figured, well, it'll just go away. Problems don't go away, folks. Okay? They get worse. And when you're dealing with problems in children like that, what happens is they evolve. You'll hear these parents, they'll say, well, they'll grow out of that phase. Let me tell you something. They'll grow out of that phase. They'll transition out of that phase into the next phase, and it'll be worse. And it'll even be more deceptive. Seek help. Problems do not go away. Problems will evolve as they age, and getting help will never happen until acknowledging that there's a problem. Now, I do want to insert this. We'd have a whole lot less problems if parents, and I'm talking about children in the home. I'm not talking about a wayward child that lives on their own. Parents, you want a little advice? And I'll tell you by experience, stop going down to the hog pen and feeding them their bread and water so they can wallow in the hog slop. You need to take a cue from the prodigal father. He stayed on the porch. He loved that son. He looked every day for that son, but he did not come off the porch. And he was nothing he could do for that son until that son, the Bible says, he come to himself. He got tired of living a fake life and wallowing in that hog slop. There was nothing he can do until that son started coming back to the home. Now, I'm not really talking about that. And why I'm taking the time to lay all this down is, as sure as I preach this and not explain some of these things of what I'm not talking about, somebody will go out of here or somebody will hear this on live stream and try to apply it to their situation. It has nothing to do with it. And then it's worse. Oh, well, the preacher said that. Preacher said, it's Hakuna Matata, don't worry about it. Nah, be careful. If you ever have a question about what you think I meant in a message, please ask me. I will gladly explain to you. Seek help. Getting help will never happen until you acknowledge the problem. This father acknowledged there was a problem. Are you having some problems? You might not even be having a problem with a lunatic child, maybe a lunatic spouse. Maybe a lunatic boss. Maybe there's a problem. But let me tell you something. When it hits close to home, acknowledge the problem. Acknowledge it. Deal with it. This father was seeking help for this child. This child was under the age, and so he was still living at home. I need to throw this in there because you see it comes up. Don't decline help from God's men. These apostles did their best to try to help. Now, I've been here many times as a pastor. I begin to try to work with a situation. And the parents become very antagonistic. And they become very defensive. And they begin to attack the person trying to help. Don't decline help from God's men. The apostles were not the enemy. They tried to help. God's men are not the enemy. God's men are limited. And I've preached out here before, and as a pastor, you need to realize sooner rather than later, if you're in a situation you know you can't help, get them to Jesus quicker. These apostles, they should have brought him to Christ sooner. Sometimes I deal with things on people that I think they got chemical imbalances, and I immediately tell them, you need to go get tested, you need to see a professional. It's out of my realm. It's not a spiritual problem. It could be, but I think you're dealing with a chemical imbalance. That can happen. That can happen, and you need to go get tested if that's what you're dealing with. But acknowledging that problem, don't deny help. What hurt these men? Christ said they wasn't praying enough and fasting enough. Now, from experience, your pastor knows something about that. I promise you, when you begin to fast and pray, God's going to make some changes. God made some big changes around here about 6 years, 7 years ago now. I was on a 2-week fast praying. Oh my, oh my. And the Lord says some, and this was a devil they were dealing with, will only come out by prayer and fasting. Now, this is an important point. But I don't want you to take it the wrong way. I'm talking about children that are still in the home that are under your care. And if the Holy Spirit so says to you and puts this on your heart for children that are wayward outside the home you have no control over, then that so be it. I'm trying to preach this message in such a way, I don't know what all we're dealing with or who that's watching me is dealing with. And so you let the Holy Spirit speak to you through the message. But here's one thing I did learn from this passage of Scripture, and it's very important. Don't dement on the child. And that word dement means don't give up. Don't give up. This father did not give up on this child. Now, I'm talking with a child still living at home. Now, you take it however the Holy Spirit deals with your heart. I will tell you this, though. In closing, there are going to be some problems you might end up having to deal with, whether they're in your children or people that you know, that you love, that are going to be beyond your capacity to help. And all you will have is prayer and fasting. So the parents that might have a child that doesn't live at home, that is wayward, I know a little something about that. I thank God my son come back. There was a whole lot of prayer, some fasting. To come back. You might have a child that is wayward who is now an adult. I would say don't give up on them. I'd say pray and fast and be there for them. But if they are under your roof and there is something you can do about it, don't be in denial of the problem. I think that is the point that the Holy Spirit has really pushed on me this week, is because as human beings, we seem to want to live in denial of issues. Just like me, I want to live in denial that that's an actual leak. You know what I want to say? That might have been leftover water that was trapped in the roof system when we patched it up top. Why would we do that? I don't know. It's human nature. We like to live in denial. Where I think we are programmed to be naturally optimistic. I think that's what helps us survive through disasters and bad situations. It's not a bad thing, but don't let it become a detriment to you. Any person that's ever dealt with real problems, like as in recovering drug addicts, alcoholics, will all tell you, you will never, never, never successfully beat an addiction or take care of a problem until you acknowledge it. And as a parent, you will never help a child that is messing up until you acknowledge it and then seek to do something about it, to initiate. I believe a lot of problems that we're seeing in our late teen and early 20s and 30s kids could have been avoided if mommy and daddy was not in denial when it was going on at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And you know what I'm talking about. Some of you, you know, have heard the stories of parents. The teacher says, look, your child is giving us some problem. They go in there and it's the teacher's fault. It's everybody else's fault but that kid. Let me give you a rule of thumb. If it happens one time, it could be an accident. If it happens two times, it could be a coincidence. By the time it happens the third time, it is a pattern. And you need to look for commonalities. A lot of times these parents come in, they say, well, my kid, you know, this school, this, the social worker's this, the teacher's that, this person that, and there'll be four or five different people that they've been in contact with. I'll tell you what's common. That child was involved in every one of those situations. You've got a problem. You have a pattern. And the sooner you acknowledge it, the sooner you can get that child some help. Now, this father was dealing with some serious issues. I told you three quick illustrations of some children that for sure had some serious issues. It wasn't just a disciplinary thing. There was something going on, and every one of them acted that way. They were worse in the full moon. You talk to my son who used to work at the detention center down there for the youth. Every full moon, that place went crazy. What is that? You got lunatic children that have never been helped or dealt with because the parent didn't want to acknowledge there was an issue. Going to sweep it under the rug. Well, that's just them. And it got worse. Don't deny the problem. Don't decline help from God's people. And don't give up on the child. Let's all stand this morning.